This morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles for a moment to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 19. And I want us to think about, we don't hear this subject very often, but we're going to talk about a place called hell today and why you don't want to go there. I want you to think about where you will spend eternity, because we'll spend it somewhere, either in heaven or a place called hell. The moment we die, we open our eyes in the presence of God, or we'll open our eyes in a place called hell. Listen to what the Bible says, starting with verse 19. Jesus says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we realize that if the Holy Spirit doesn't open our hearts to understand or speak to us, we will not understand. And Heavenly Father, we do ask that the Holy Spirit right now open our hearts and open our eyes of our understanding, that we might see what you would have for us. And Lord, if there's one here, we pray that you would touch their heart, that they might know that when they die, they have you as their Lord and Savior. And God, we give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. How will you spend eternity? That is a very important question. And I think you ought to deal with that question today. You've got to make a decision. We find decisions right here in this passage of Scripture made by these two men. How will you spend eternity? You see, one spent an eternity without God. He's still there today. He's still crying in torment. He's still in pain. He's still looking and longing for that one drop of water that might cool his tongue. The other is an eternity with God. Now, which will it be, with God or without God? Will you be like the rich man that's in hell today? Or will you be like Lazarus is in heaven today? Now, I want you to know something about these two men. I believe this is a true story. Some people say this is just a parable Jesus was illustrating, but I don't believe that. I believe it was a true story of a man. He does not give his name. He just says, here was a rich man. But he gives a poor man's name. He calls him Lazarus. And he also talks about Abraham and Moses. So I believe this is a true story that Jesus told here that we might have a glimpse of what happens the moment we die and where we'll spend eternity. Now, there's something the same about these two men. They were both created by God. Everyone in here today has been given life by God. God is the creator. He's the father that creates individuals. Both of them, God created. The rich and the poor, they have this in common. Whether you have millions in here today or whether you don't have a dime, God created you. And he created you, let me tell you this, to have fellowship with him. He loves you. In other words, he loves you, like the Bible says, so much that he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross to pay the price for sin, that you could have eternal life, that you could spend an eternity in a place called heaven that he's designed for you. He wants you to spend an eternity with him. I don't want you to think, well, since I've got money, God won't let me into heaven. No, God will let you into heaven if you choose to make the right decisions. You see, these two men were both created by God to love God. But they were different in some things in their life. They were different in their positions in life. One is now in hell. The other is in heaven. They were different by their possessions in life. One had everything while he was on earth. One had nothing while he was on earth. He was poor. They were different in their passions in life. One loved his gold. He loved his gold. And one, he loved God. Makes all the difference in the world this morning where you will spend eternity. Now, which are you this morning? Are you the rich man or the poor man? Now, I know we're all going to say, oh, well, we're the poor man. We like the poor man because he's spending eternity in heaven. Well, that's good to be like the poor man and spend an eternity in heaven. That's true that he's there, but not because he was poor. You see, being poor did not get him there. Now, don't think for a moment just because you are poor and you don't have a dime that you're going to go and spend an eternity in heaven. Just as though the man rich, just being rich didn't cause him to go to hell. It was a decision that he made about Jesus Christ. You see, these two men were divided in some areas. And first they were divided by their decision. On the outside, well, the difference, according to the Word of God here, is very obvious. Look at it. The rich man, he dressed in purple. That was the color of royalty. Boy, he was something else. When he went out into town, he had his own personal chauffeured chariot. Man, he was on top. He dressed in his purple fine linens and undergarments. He wore that expensive fabric of the day. He was dressed to the T. Nobody ever saw him unless he had on his three-piece suit and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says he fared sumptuously. Man, let me tell you something. That just simply means he lived it up. He lived life up while he was here. Man, every day was a vacation to him. Every day was a feast to him. Man, he ate the best food for breakfast, dinner, and supper. He had people to wait on him. He had the servants to come in and fix for him. The Bible says he lived sumptuously. He lived a life of luxury. Now, most of us don't know how that is today, but, you know, he wallowed in his wealth. Man, he had it coming in. I don't know what he did, but the Bible says he was rich. He had it. We'd think today, man, this guy, he's retired early, and he has all the money. He has all the people he wants to wait on him. He's probably a couch potato, and he doesn't do anything. Just everything done for him. That's a lie. That's living, man. Lazarus, the Bible says, was poor. He was a cripple. His story is not too good. For he's outside this man's gate begging for food. He wanted the crumbs, the old bones that this man gave his dogs. Lazarus wanted. Not only that, the Bible says he was covered with sores. Now, you know when it says covered with sores, he had some bad-looking sores on him. I can imagine they're breaking open. The Bible says the dogs licked that old sores. You know, it brought probably soothing to him. Maybe he put ashes on his sores to help ease the pain and the itch of those sores in his life. But they were different by their decisions. And somehow we get the idea that, yeah, the rich man could never go to heaven because of his wealth. God does not condemn you for being wealthy. Now listen to that. Some of the most godliest men in the Bible were wealthy. Oh, Job was wealthy. Joseph was wealthy. He is prime minister there of Egypt. Man, he had life. And God loved him. We get the idea that, man, if we got poor and money, we're going to end up, we just can't get to heaven. It is hard, the Bible says, for a rich man to enter because that, not the money, but the love of the money. Old David, Solomon, was one of the wealthiest of all men, and he loved God. You see, so God does not condemn a person to hell because he's rich. That's not what this story is telling. It's not because of what he owned, but what owned him. You see, it was because of his decision that he made. God has no need today for all the wealth that we have. No need. You know what he wants? He wants you. He doesn't need your money. I hear people all the time say, well, you just want to get people in church and prayer so they can get money. I don't need your money, and God don't need your money. God didn't send his son to die for money. He owns the whole world, the universe, and everything that we see, even the money. The Bible says all things that were made by him. He owns everything. He doesn't need a little bit more. Someone said, you know, he doesn't need your gold because that's just pavement in heaven. We put such a value on it. God wants you. He wants you to live a life that you're sold out to him. He wants you to live a life that is pleasing to him in obedience with his word. That's what he wants. And I believe that's the reason he tells us this story. Some of you have everything. There's some people in here this morning who's got everything in the world but God. You have all that you'd ever need. Let me tell you something. Even you that maybe say, I'm poor, I don't even have a dime. Well, let me tell you something. You're better off in the third world countries. I'll guarantee you. You're sitting in church today with air-conditioned lights. You probably got a car to drive up here. I tell you what, the other parts of the world, they don't have electricity. They don't have water to bathe. They don't have a pew to sit on. They're sitting on the ground or on a stump. They didn't have a bed to sleep in last night. They're laying on a mat on the ground. They've got colds. They've got fever. And they don't have any medicine. If you were there and you've had a heart attack, you would be dead today. They don't do bypasses over there. You just die. So, yes, you're better off than most people. So don't feel like, even if you have everything here, or you're rich or you're poor, you're going to go to heaven. You may have everything this world has to offer, but if you don't have God, you'll spend an eternity like this rich man in hell. I believe God wants us to be aware in our lives that we're going to die and spend an eternity one place or the other. The rich man had everything except God, and you know what? He was satisfied with that. He was satisfied as long as he was living on earth. He was satisfied. The Bible says he lived sumptuously. He dined good. He wore all the best. But the poor man had nothing but God. And he was saved. And that makes the difference. See, Lazarus means in God I trust. And the Lord leaves no doubt in our mind when he talks about Lazarus that he was a saved man. Verse 22 says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It's also very obvious that the rich man was lost. And he knew he was lost. Now, he's in hell, and he knows he's lost there. And he asked Abraham, he said, Abraham, would you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water that he might cool my tongue? And then when that didn't work, he said, would you send him to preach to my brothers? For they will not repent either. He knew that he needed repentance in his life. But it was too late now. He had never repented, and he knew it. He had lived a life, a godless life, with all the pleasures of the world, and he didn't know God. And the moment he died, the Bible says he was in hell. He never repented. Some of you may be here this morning, and you're like this man. You think you've got it made. Life's been pretty good, preacher. I'm doing pretty good. Well, that's just a matter of opinion. If you don't have God, you're not doing pretty good. Matter of fact, if you don't have God, you don't have anything at all. Because everything will be lost or left behind the moment you die. You see, you can't take all of these things with you. So if you have all the world's goods and you lose your own soul, the Bible says, you're a poor man. He had never repented and he knew it. He had never accepted Jesus Christ as the bread of life. When there was a decision about Jesus, he said no. And these two men, the poor man and the rich man, were divided by that decision. One accepted God, the other decided not to. Now, which will it be this morning? You've got a decision to make. Every time, I want you to understand, every time that you hear the gospel, and you say no to the gospel, and you go out those doors, or you go from a revival, or you go from a crusade, and you have said no to God, it gets a little more calloused every time. Your heart gets a little more hard every time, until finally the Holy Spirit will say, you know what? I've given that fella every opportunity in the world to come to Christ. I'm no longer going to work with him. And after a while, it doesn't even bother you to hear the word Jesus Christ, to hear the word of the gospel that Jesus loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. You've just completely left God out of your life. That's what the rich man did. They were divided by a decision. But they were also divided by death, too. Now look what it says. The Bible describes these two men at the moment of death. Look what it says. Lazarus died and was carried. I love that. Lazarus died, and the moment he died, the angels were there to carry him to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We've had some pass away in our life, and matter of fact, we've had Miss Grace Church. I don't know if y'all knew her. She passed away last night. But let me tell you something. The Bible says the moment we die in Christ, the angels come and carry you, escort you into the very presence of God. You open your eyes. Down here you close them. Up there you open them, and there's God. Beautiful. So think about that. But the Bible says the rich man died, and, well, he wasn't escorted by angels to heaven. He said he died and was buried. Now, that buried just sounds kind of dull, doesn't it? Dead. He's just put in the ground. Well, he was put in the ground, but he opened his eyes in hell. I love the story that Jesus tells about the wheat and the tares. Now, you know, there's wheat and there's tares right here in this church building today. Jesus told a parable about the wheat and tares, and basically they were counterfeit kernels of wheat that looked like wheat, but they were tares, and they were planted, and they all grew up together. Now, you couldn't notice the difference as they were growing. And Jesus says, well, you let them alone, and at the end, when they're fully grown, you can separate them. Truth is, there's some people in this service today who look like Christians. You go to church, you sing the songs, you read your Bible maybe occasionally. You'll be at every revival service we have. You will do or serve on committees. Outwardly, you look like a Christian. But inwardly, you've never given your heart to God. Is that you? That's something to think about, isn't it? For Matthew says in chapter 7, it says that many will, in that last day, will crawl on me and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And if you don't know God, death separates at the time of the harvest. The harvest is coming on us, and one way or the other, we're going to be judged by God. At the time of death, we'll spend an eternity without Christ or an eternity with Christ. Now, Lazarus, the Bible says, was carried to Abraham's bosom. In the Old Testament, Abraham's bosom was that, to the Jewish people, was that paradise. It was a paradise. It was an honored place for the Jews. And Jesus said to the man on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. You see? Well, the Bible says the rich man was simply buried. Now, I don't mean that he was just carried out and dropped in the ground, and he probably had the most expensive casket of those days. He probably, it was magnificent service. Man, I've been to some where the people just filled the building. It was a magnificent crowd, but the person was lost as could be. Reminds you of the rich man here. He probably had a big crowd. He probably, his family, ones left, probably hired professional mourners just to come and cry. And then I've watched them at some of these funerals, you know. Long list of achievements. Man, I've heard some, and I've listened to them. They give achievement after achievement after achievement, but they've never mentioned God one iota. That's the rich man. He probably had on the finest of those clothes to be buried in. He was, you know, buried but in a nice thing. But the bottom line, he died and was buried. I've told you this before. At the time of death, when you're standing there and you see a person that you know that has loved God, that has served God, he looks like God, he's lived his life so pleasing to God, doesn't mean he was perfect or she was perfect, but they knew God, and you knew that. They testified about God. They die, and they've got the sweetest smile on their face, kind of like the poor man. He was carried by the angels into the very presence of God. But there's those that don't know God. And you knew that they had never made a profession in Christ by the way they lived, by the life that they, the seeds that they had sown. And their family doesn't know God. And you try to tell them that God loves them. You can't do anything for their loved one. It's too late. But you can preach to them just like the man said. He said, "Preach to my brothers. I've got five of them, and they have never repented." And you preach to them and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. It's too late for the one that's passed. Funerals are not for those that are passed anyhow. Funerals are for the ones that are left behind. So preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. They might be saved. It's not too late until they die. But he died. I never will forget D.L. Moody when he died. He was laying there at his death door, and he said, "Earth is rescinding, heaven is descending, God is calling, and I'm going home. This is my coronation day." Praise God. Praise God. Old Thomas Paine, the agnostic who didn't believe in God, cried out, "Oh, what a fool I've been." It's too late. Too late. Now, which will you be? Will you make a decision for Christ and spend an eternity with Christ and say, "You know, I see heaven descending. This is my coronation day. I'm going to be with God." Or will you say, "Oh, what a fool I've been"? They were divided by decision. They were divided by death. And you know what? Death is not the end, is it? Now, there's a lot of people who think, well, the moment you die, that's the end of it. You're not going to go nowhere. You just put the body in the ground. That's the end of it. But that's not true, folks. That's not true. Jesus says in the Word of God, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He told the man on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Where is that? Where is heaven? Wherever Jesus is at. And I know it's real. I know he's real because he talks to me. He speaks to my heart. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today, I do believe. We've asked him to speak to your heart. And you've got a decision to make. You've got a decision to make about death and eternity. One went to eternity glorified. Man, he's in heaven. He was carried there by the angels. The angels are singing. All heaven is rejoicing. The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." God is rejoicing. One has come home. One of his children has come to the gates that he's prepared, a place that he's prepared. The other, the Bible says, he's horrified. He's horrified. There is no calmness about him. He's crying out. One entered into the joy of the Lord. I can hear the choirs singing as he goes through the gates. I can hear the angels rejoicing, and they're singing and praising God. Oh, what a time it's going to be when we go to heaven. The other, he's facing the judgment of God in a place called hell. One is enjoying the happiness of heaven, and the other, the horror of hell. One went from rags to riches, the other went from riches to rags. For Lazarus, the moment he died, there was a banquet table prepared. No more pain, no more hunger, no more worrying with them old sick sores on his body. He is complete in Christ. Now, all the former things were passed away. He's with God. He has a mansion. Oh, let me tell you something. That rich man had a big place, but it won't compare to the mansion that God has prepared for you. For the rich man, he's tormented in a place called hell, the place of the dead, the place that the dead, let me tell you this, will never die. He's still there today. He's still in unbearable pain. He says, I'm in torment. His new home is described as a place of torment forever. The Bible says in verse 24, he cried and said, you know what that word cry means? He literally screamed in agony. Screamed. There's some things you never forget, you know? Some things that you hear that or see in life that's always there in the back of your mind. I remember a young man. I was only in the first grade. First grader. Man, that's awful young, isn't it? Six. Maybe seven for me. I might have stayed there a couple of years. I don't know. But I never will forget Doug. Back then, Doug, we had those old big heaters. Doug was a young guy that was my friend. And he backed up to that heater, and all of a sudden, he just ignited. Poof. And he ran and screamed. I can see him going down the aisle of that old big school building, hollering and screaming, help! And fire just engulfed him. And finally, a couple of teachers, lady teachers, caught him outside the door and rolled him in the sand. But I never will forget those screams, watching those fires. Man, that's a horrible thing. Doug never made it. Too many third-degree burns. This rich man, oh, he wished he could die now. But you can't die in hell. He's still screaming in agony, and he's crying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And Abraham says, no, I can't even send a less than a drop of water to cool your tongue. You see, hell is a literal place. Just as real as heaven, there's a place called hell, and people without Christ go there. God doesn't send you there. You've got a choice to make today. You'll go there because you want to go there. And I don't see how anybody could want to go there. A place of unsatisfied passion. He had a thirst, the Bible says, that could not be satisfied. There's no satisfied customers in that place, I'll guarantee you. Place of unanswered prayer. He said, Lord, I beg, I pray for you. Just ask. I just ask that you send a drop of water to cool my tongue. I just ask, Lord, you know there's praying down there in hell. He's praying, Lord, would you send somebody to talk to my brothers? But even prayers can't escape hell. He's still there. It's a place of unchanged person. Now, notice something about this man. Even in hell, he didn't repent. He never repented. He knew he had not repented, but he still has not repented. You know why? If you do not love God here, you won't love him there. Oh, you want the benefits of escaping the pain, but you won't get them. It's a place of unending pity. God says, you know, there's a great gulf fixed, and it means that there's a great chasm there, and you can't cross over to heaven. They can't come here. It is fixed. It is fixed forever. You know what? I saw a man the other day. He was on television, 48 hours. Evidently, he killed someone, and he'd got 17 years, and then he was going to get out. You know, there's no death row pardon in hell. You're there for all eternity. There's no hope there. Man, in this life, we have hope. But in hell, there's no hope. Now, I'm going to close with this. I believe Jesus tells us this story to indicate two truths. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to stay away from. You do not have to go to hell today. He's made a way of escape. He said, my son has died on the cross for the sins of the world. Would you put your faith in him? Would you look to him and live? Or you can choose to do your own thing like this guy did and spend an eternity separated by his decision, separated by his death, separated for all eternity. What are you going to do? If you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I think I'll wait. I think I'll just wait. It may be too late for you. You may not have another chance. The Holy Spirit may never speak to you again. You may die before you get back in here. That's a good possibility. But if you die without Christ, it's an eternity lost, and you're going to be saying, oh, what a fool I've been. Now, the choice is yours. If you're saved, if you are a Christian, and you know you're a Christian, but you haven't been living for God, why don't you come and just get on your knees and say, Lord, today I thank you for my salvation that you gave me years ago. You're still saved. You just wandered away from God. Lord, forgive me of my sin and pick me back up and get me back on the right path. He'll do that. You see? But if you're not saved, you need to get saved today. If you're here and you're looking for a church home, I'd be glad to tell you how you can join this church, how you can become a member of this church. Be glad to show you we can work together for the glory of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Bible speaks so clearly about heaven and about hell. And God, I pray that if there's someone that's lost in this service today or not sure where they'd spend eternity, Lord, that they'll get that right before they leave this place. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.